The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, one of the stories in our local news fits in perfectly with my big lead today. So Washington businesses are facing a fivefold increase in their unemployment tax because Susie Levine and Jay Inslee oversaw the stealing of more than $500 million from the taxpayers of this state. Isn't that unbelievable? She still has a job. Citizen watchdogs that are trying to look into this, because a lot of us think it was an inside deal. Citizen watchdogs have been told that the state is going to illegally delay a public records request of emails and text messages between Jay Inslee and Susie Levine. They're going to delay that public records request until after the election in a month. A illegal delay of responding in a timely fashion. I want to know what Jay Inslee and Susie Levine know about who stole that $650 million. I mean, seriously, has there ever been a company in the country where the CEO has overseen more than $500 million theft and they still have a job? Oh, but she's a Democratic fundraiser, so she can't do anything to her. And those Nigerian scammers, they were really clever to exploit somebody at Employment Security, lowering the security threshold for 1 month. And the Nigerian scammers came in, stole more than $500 million, and then they said, click, click, we're going to raise that security threshold back up again now to make it tougher for the Nigerians. I'm doing air quotes when I say Nigerians, because I do think it was an inside job. But we got to pay for it. Fivefold increase of business taxes in the middle of a economic recovery, or an attempted economic recovery. But this is par for the course for Jay Inslee, which leads perfectly into my big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
As I told you yesterday, and we'll tell you a lot more coming up in about 25 minutes, Jay Inslee has been rated by the nonpartisan Cato Institute in Washington, D.C., the most fiscally irresponsible governor in the United States of America. Jay Inslee comes in 50th out of our 50 states. They gave him and the Democratic legislature an F grade. And as they said, that Jay Inslee, his appetite for spending increases is insatiable, and paying for all the increases has driven him to push nonstop for tax hikes. And then they, without mentioning our show, they referenced our show. When Inslee originally ran for the governor's office, he promised to not raise taxes, a promise that was made on the Dory Monson Show.
You've said you would not raise taxes. Do you pledge to my listeners that as governor, you will not raise taxes or support tax increases in this state?
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
Okay, as the Cato Institute points out, under Inslee, general fund spending rose 16% in the last 2 years. He proposed a 17% increase in the next 2 years, and the final increase was even higher. And since revenues are lower than projected, they are, instead of cutting any spending, they're going to explode more tax increases on you and me. They want capital gains tax, which is unconstitutional in our state. And the thing about all this, and I'll talk to the Cato guy about this, but twice the voters said no to a carbon tax because we can't afford more taxes. The voters said yes to $30 car tabs, and they continue to steal our money and drag that out. It's been almost a year now since we said yes to $30 tabs. You know, my daughters are driving. They drive old cars, and they're getting $250, $300 car tab bills. And they say, Dad, I thought we voted for $30 tabs. No, we got thieves in charge here. So don't go anywhere. We're going to get the guy who compiled these rankings from the Cato Institute. He's going to join me right after the 12:30 news here on the Dory Monson Show. And you will hear why and how a Washington, D.C. nonpartisan group has judged Jay Inslee to be the most fiscally irresponsible governor in the entire United States. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Oh, this is brutal. What I do for you, what I do for you. So Jay Inslee had a press conference that started at 2:30 yesterday. And I started hearing little sound bites that just sounded ridiculous to me. And my wife, after the show yesterday, she said, "What's wrong?" And I go, "I have no interest in sitting through a 50-minute Jay Inslee press conference, but I have to for tomorrow's show." So that's what I do for you. That's the suffering and the torture I go through. And I'm glad I did, because it was ridiculous. We've talked about this a lot, when the president ripped off his mask when he got back from the hospital. The media went nuts, especially because the president said, "Don't let COVID dominate your life," which I 100% agree with. And I've told you the survival rates for every age group. And this government / media desire to keep all of us imprisoned to fear is really destructive. And Jay Inslee is doing that here as well. So one of the things he said is that they are now going to let kids' sports come back on a limited basis.
But today we're announcing that we're allowing more school and non-school sports, both indoor and outdoors, according to the local metrics, according to the type of sports, and we have now found a way, we believe we can do this reasonably safely. The individual sports are going to be based on the metrics of the county and the risk factor involved in those sports.
Okay, does anybody believe that when he says, "But we have now found a way to do this more safely"? Really? What are you going to tell them? Wash their hands before and after practice? Wear a mask? Not allow anybody into the gym? You haven't found a way. They're making all this up, and nobody calls them on it. I want to know what they have found in the last week that made it impossible for kids over the summertime, and now they're going to open up sports right as it starts raining outside. Ah, beautiful. I couldn't do it on beautiful summer sunny days. But now they've found a way. I would like somebody to ask, really, tell us exactly what you have found that makes it possible on October 7th, that made it impossible on September 7th. But nobody asked specific questions like that. And he kept talking about
that. We've been able to do this because we've worked very closely with coaches and athletic directors and schools and nonprofits to be able to develop the protocols to allow our students to be able to do this safely.
Okay, again, it's not like coaches and athletic directors. I know a bunch of them. They're not epidemiologists. What do you mean you've worked with them? Everybody just wants to get their kids back out playing. You've worked closely to come up with protocols. Does anybody believe that? And the disbelief continues. They, couple months ago, they said, okay, bars can open, but you can only serve liquor until, was it either 9 p.m. or 10 p.m.? But now they figured out some other genius approach.
The cutoff for alcohol in restaurants will be advanced to 11 p.m. from 10 p.m. You're also allowing greater capacity at tables in phases 2 and 3. And we are eliminating the restriction that was in place that required you to only dine with people in your household.
Okay. So instead of 10 p.m., you can now sell alcohol till 11 p.m. at a bar. So what they did, they negotiated with the coronavirus. Up until just last few days, said, hey, we won't attack anybody until after 10 p.m. And Jay Inslee went to the coronavirus and said, hey, if I raise the unemployment tax on businesses, will you not attack people until 11:01 p.m.? And coronavirus said, yeah, they'll keep people somewhat fearful because it'll keep so many businesses closed. So, yeah, all right, Jay. Okay, yeah, we won't attack until 11:01 now. What does any of this mean? It was safe until 10 p.m., then it got dangerous. Now it's safe till 11 p.m., then it gets dangerous. It's all just made up. And, oh, I bet the staffer who wrote this line gave themselves a hearty pat on the back.
We've got to fight this war with the tools we have and the weapons we have, and that's a mask and social distancing. And what aircraft carriers were in World War II, a mask is today.
Yes. Your mask is the modern-day aircraft carrier. I mean, how can he even deliver that line? How can he even say that with a straight face? Okay, they aren't going to allow the kids to play football, though.
In most counties, not, because it is considered a high risk. What we have done is done an analysis of the risk associated with each kind of sport. Football is a higher risk because it has more close facial interactions, as for reasons we can understand. And at least at the moment, we haven't found a way to develop the protocols that could really keep our young people safe during that sport. And by the way, it's just not just the young people. It's their parents when they go home, and it's their grandparents and everybody else in the community that has a risk here.
Huh? So is soccer going to be allowed? Because there's close facial interaction in soccer. Basketball? I mean, if you play good defense, you get up in the face of your opponent. But football, no. College football's back all across the country. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, they're getting revved back up. NFL, there have been a couple outbreaks. Cam Newton tested positive last week. But the NFL's managing. High school football's getting by in all other states without problems. But in Washington State, Jay hasn't quite figured out a way. And again, it's all about keeping control. And then people said, well, you just released a chart that said COVID is on the rise in most counties in our state.
The number of cases are rising across the state and in Snohomish County and other places. And you're making this decision today. So why are you making these changes with the data showing an increase in cases?
Well, it's because we think it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because we have found a way to do these things safely with minimal risk.
Yeah, the bars can now stay open until 11, not 10. They figured out a way to make that safe. And did you hear the big pause by Jay? He didn't have an answer to that. But the answer is, we're just making it all up as we go along, and we're doing everything we can to keep as many people under our control and fearful for as long as possible. Because fear equals control if you are a politician. And listen to this. When the reporters were actually starting to call him out on his nonsense, listen to what he said. This is very telling.
And if I may, I just want to look, these have been really, really hard times for people. It's been really hard on our kids, although they're pretty resilient. And to get them back playing is a real joy. I think just for a moment in these hard times, it might be fair to let us experience just a little bit of joy and happiness.
No, reporter's job isn't to just rubber stamp nonsense, which is what all of this is. It's all made up. And because the reporters actually, and that was his response, the guy said, why are you loosening things when COVID, you tell us COVID's going up? Why aren't you just celebrating with joy and happiness? He is so used to just having an obsequious, you know, lapdog media that he couldn't believe that people were actually calling him out on his nonsense. And then this might be the most telling of all.
I had a question about the no restrictions on household members dining together indoors. My latest understanding is that the CDC reports that adults with positive COVID tests were twice as likely to have reported dining at a restaurant. So I'm curious why limit those, why remove the restriction?
Well, mostly because we found out restaurants were not totally abiding by this and not really enforcing it. So we don't think there's been much loss in COVID transmission reduction.
Oh, so it just wasn't working, the old policy. So now he's going to just loosen it up because people weren't abiding by it anyway. And then more.
I guess I'm just curious. And so my understanding of what you just said is that it felt like restaurants couldn't actually follow this protocol anyway. So you're kind of giving up on it?
Well, we don't anything because we're so resilient in the state of Washington. But what we concluded is that we were really not getting much reduction of transmissions from this policy, bottom line. And it was aggravating to people and was not reducing transmissions one way or another. So this was a rational choice.
So their last batch of made-up nonsense wasn't working, but this batch of made-up nonsense will. How gullible are the people of this state if they're buying any of that? And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Gonna check the news for you, and then we'll take you to Washington, D.C., where a nonpartisan institute has just rated Jay Inslee the worst governor in the country in this category. Tell you all about it next on the Dory Monson Show. As I told you in the big lead, Washington's gubernatorial debate coming up tonight. Jay Inslee way ahead of Lauren Culp in all of the polls, which remains a bit mind-boggling to me, especially given that the Cato Institute came out with a fiscal responsibility report card for all 50 governors in the United States. Jay Inslee came in number 50 out of 50. It's a damning indictment of what he's been doing economically in our state. Chris Edwards is with the Cato Institute. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Chris, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So let's start with how you guys don't have any bias against our state. You're on the East Coast. These rankings are arrived at somewhat objectively, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Cato Institute is nonpartisan. We don't support Republicans or Democrats. I use hard data that's publicly available to score this report. We look at each governor's taxes and spending. And I would love Governor Inslee's a Democrat. I would love Democrats to do better on our report. And in the past, some Democrats have done well, like former Governor Manchin of West Virginia. Unfortunately, Jay Inslee, since he's come into office in 2013, he's had an insatiable appetite for spending increases and tax increases. And that's why he got an F on this year's Cato report, and he got an F on previous Cato reports. I can run through some of the data, but it's really, if you want bigger government, Inslee's your man. But if you want government somewhat restrained, Inslee is really he's undoing Washington State's traditional, moderate or limited government position.
Yeah, very much so. Well, let's go back 8 years when he was running for his first term as governor. It was on my radio show where he said he promised that he would not raise taxes. He said that he would do that through government efficiencies and just the growth of our economy. And our economy's grown, our population has grown. He could have organically just increased revenues. But as you point out, he's been just blowing up the state budget and the taxes that go with it.
No, that's absolutely right. It's, he promised not to raise taxes initially. Then his very first budget, he proposed more than $1 billion a year in hikes. So he's been sort of on the warpath with higher. He wants higher energy taxes, capital gains tax to raise $1 billion a year, tobacco taxes that mainly land on lower income folks. The business and occupation tax there in Washington State, which is sort of like a gross receipts tax. It's hidden in the cost of everything you buy there in Washington State. And I really object to states raising and imposing these gross receipts tax because they're sort of unfair. They're hidden in the cost of goods and citizens can't really see the negative impact of them. And he's pushed for online sales tax increases. He agreed to a big new statewide tax of 0.5% on all worker wages to fund this new long-term care program. On and on and on. It's really, he's been insatiable on taxation. And as you point out, the Washington economy has grown pretty well over the last decade, which usually would just fill the state treasury naturally with rising revenues. So there's been no need to legislate additional tax hikes.
Well, the other thing you write about, Chris, is a couple of times they've come to the citizens, the voters, with a massive carbon tax hike. And we've said no. We rejected the 2016 one, 59-41. 2 years later, we rejected another one, 57-43. It's always interesting to me when a politician has, and I'll give you another one. We voted for $30 car tabs. We have some of the highest car tabs in the country. A year ago, we voted for $30 car tabs for the fifth time. And it's in the courts, and Jay Inslee is not going to refund the money if the vote of the citizens from 2019 is upheld. And meanwhile, people are paying, in many cases, $300, $400, $500 a year in car tabs when we clearly voted for $30 tabs a year ago. But he would rather just reject what the voters say about the carbon tax, what the voters say about the car tabs, and just find other ways to tax us. And it's really an outrageous way to govern.
I agree, absolutely. And again, Washington has not been short of just revenues from a naturally growing economy. The average annual spending increase in Washington State since Inslee came to power in 2013 has been 6.9%. So you don't have to be sort of a statistician to realize that 6.9% every year over 7 years compounds rapidly. Yeah. So the overall size of government in Washington State, unfortunately, has grown very rapidly under Governor Inslee.
Yeah, it has. And you mentioned he wants a capital gains tax, which is illegal under our state constitution. We are a constitutionally protected from having a state income tax. The IRS has clearly ruled that capital gains are income, and yet they're trying to do an end run around our state constitution because ultimately a state income tax is the holy grail for Jay Inslee and the Democrats that control our legislature.
When you think about how stupid that is for the long-term growth of the Washington economy, Washington, obviously now it's moved to more of a high-tech oriented business away from natural resources. So you got companies like Microsoft and Amazon, of course, headquartered there. Capital gains taxes, having low or zero capital gains taxes is crucial to spur startup companies, to attract venture capital and angel investment for the new high-tech industries a state like Washington needs. So imposing a capital gains tax is absolutely the wrong thing to do. It would be a big neon sign telling startup companies and investors, and put your money in a place like Texas or Florida that doesn't have an income or capital gains tax. It's really the totally the wrong thing to do for Washington State.
Yeah, or South Carolina. I mean, Boeing just announced last week that it's consolidating all of its 787 production line, which is split between Washington and South Carolina. They're moving all of it to South Carolina, in part because there was a bipartisan agreement to cut the B&O tax for all businesses in Washington, because Boeing had a carve-out, and they were only getting it. And the WTO said, no, you can't give it just to Boeing. So our legislature said, well, let's give it to all businesses. And Jay Inslee vetoed it. And now Boeing's, you know, part of Boeing is leaving for South Carolina.
Absolutely. And that's sort of business and occupation tax, as you call it, which is like a gross receipts tax. There's about half a dozen states that have it. I think they're terribly damaging. One, because they're this hidden burden on businesses, and the burden ultimately lands on individuals. So, you know, I think states ought to be more, if they wanted to be more democratic and transparent, if you really wanted more tax money, you just raise, say, the sales tax rate. So everyone can see it. Everyone can see the cost of government. But trying to, you know, burying tax collections and business taxes, you know, it's really not fair. Then the second issue is, if you impose a tax on business, you just encourage corruption, because then governments go and they carve out special deals for certain businesses, usually big companies like Boeing, whereas the small companies, you know, get hit with the full burden of that B&O tax. Yep. It's an unfair way to tax.
Well, I really appreciate what all of you do at the Cato Institute, and I appreciate you bringing to light, it's something I talk about a lot, but out of all the states in the union, Washington has been the most fiscally irresponsible, and Jay Inslee is the and I'm not overstating that, right? You rated him
On taxes and spending, Jay Inslee has been the worst governor in the United States over many years. It's really unfortunate for Washington's economy and for citizens.
Chris, thanks for all you guys do at the Cato Institute. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you very much.
Chris Edwards with the Cato Institute. I'd love to get your feedback on this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. When you hear this, is Jay Inslee still a prohibitive favorite against Lauren Culp when we have the worst fiscal management in the United States? What do you think? Let me know. 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Just getting some minor breaking news, but just got a bulletin that for the first time since he was diagnosed, President Trump has just returned from the White House residence to the Oval Office, his first time in the Oval Office. And you heard CBS News at the top of the hour, his doctors said that he's doing fine today, no signs of the coronavirus, and that he has tested positive for the antibodies. So he wouldn't be a carrier or a getter anymore. So President just went to the Oval Office for the first time. Breaking news just in. Okay, what else do we got? Let's stay out on the national campaign trail since I had just that. Joy Behar on The View. She's a delightful human being. She apparently now is openly rooting for the death of the president, because the only way Nancy Pelosi could become president, she's second in line. You got, if something happened to President Trump, it'd be Mike Pence. If something happened to him, then it's Nancy Pelosi. And apparently Joy Behar is hoping for the death of the president and vice president now. This is on ABC.
So, Nancy, I'm dreaming of the day when we call, say, President Nancy Pelosi. I think that sounds really good, but...
Yeah, you're dreaming of that day. All it would take is a couple of deaths, right, Joy? You know what? Joy doesn't seem very joyful. Makes me sad for her. On CNN, they're still so upset about Trump taking off his mask on the balcony. They're still talking about that. How out of touch are they?
Oh, man, this is Caitlin Collins.
He had a level of treatment and a level of care that most Americans would not get. That's understandable. He is the president of the United States. Obviously, everyone expects that. But what the president is portraying by taking his mask off when he gets back to the Truman balcony to give this grand return to the White House is that everything is fine. And as he said, don't let coronavirus control your life. But that is very much still a president who has coronavirus.
Okay, but the stats I gave when he said, don't let it dominate your life, because as I mentioned yesterday, the politicians, most in the media, they want to instill as much fear as possible. People get furious when I give actual statistics from the CDC. So I'm going to do it again, just to infuriate those people again. If you're 0 to 19 years old and you get coronavirus, and most people don't get it to begin with, but if you get it, 0 to 19 years old, you have a 99.997% chance of survival. If you're 20 to 49, you have a 99.98% chance of survival. If you're 50 to 69, you have a 99.5% chance of survival. And if you're over 70, you have a 95% chance of surviving coronavirus. And most of those who do not survive are over 80. 70 to 79, which is the president's age range, you have a pretty good chance of survival. But that's why don't let it dominate your life, is what the president said. But again, you got a bunch of people who know that fear is control. And please understand, corporations, media, politicians, they want to control you more than anything else. They want to control you. I want you to be free. Be free from all of that. And information and knowledge is freedom. Don't let it dominate you. Why does that make some in the media, most in the media, so furious? Because check the news, and then Fastest 15 next.